Welcome back to Grant and Danny on the Fan. Washington is building a foundation for success on and off the field. It's time for you to plan for your future as well. Our exclusive sponsor, the law firm Condori and Murad, will help you do just that. If you need a last will and testament or a revocable trust, and if you've got a family or if you're starting a family, you've got to start thinking about this. Even if you're not older or you don't have health issues, this is the kind of thing that just needs to be done. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today. Visit kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. Yesterday on the show, we discussed a, frankly, an abnormal story for us to talk about on 106.7 The Fan, which is a saga at the high school football level, prep ranks, out of Hayfield High School in Fairfax County. And the reason we've been talking about this is because it is not really a Hayfield-specific story, but rather, I don't know if you'd agree with this, Danny, but I think a massive conversation that should be had and needs to be had about where we're at in high school athletics generally. Is that fair?
I think so, because, again, it's more complicated than one team that was previously bad, now very good, running up the score. It's way more in depth than that, right? The defenders of this are, you know, have platitudes about get better and do this, that, and the other, and it ignores an awful lot of potentially, you know, I don't know how to say it, allegedly, whatever I have to say to qualify it, not great behavior, shady behavior at best, to put it kindly.
So before we move on and get to the development, since we talked about this yesterday, I do want to give some cliff notes because a little bit of radio insider here. A lot of the people listening right now probably were not listening yesterday. But without spending the entire segment rehashing this entire story, the gist is in Fairfax County and in high school sports generally, and certainly in this area, you don't just get to play where you want to play. You have to live there to play there. A coach was hired from Freedom Woodbridge to go to Hayfield, who is a two-time defending state champion, whose team scored 60 points 10 times and 70 points 5 times and beat a team by, you know, over 100 points in a game last year. And so Hayfield went and hired him. That's not abnormal. Then, reportedly, 24 players followed him to Hayfield, including 14 or more from his school at Freedom. The numbers are a little wonky depending on what story that you're reading. There was another 10 or so players allegedly from all over the area, schools like St. John's and Dematha, who went to Hayfield to play. They went to, this is one of the weird parts, you know, he chose this school in what is one of the worst high school football districts in Division VI. Like, the high school football is not great. Every game they've played in district, there's been a running clock in the whole second half because they're up 50, 60, 70 points on teams. They're blowing everybody out of the water. Their slogan is Hayfield by 40. And so this has now become this big conversation as to, were rules broken? The rule is you cannot recruit players. Hayfield says they didn't recruit anybody, that this guy basically, starting when kids are 6, 7, 8 years old, the head coach, this talented coach named Daryl Overton, who's got unbelievable amounts of success at the high school level in the state and is a longtime successful coach, he would say, well, I coach these kids from when they're 7 and 8 years old, and I develop and groom this talent, and then it just so happens they want to play for me when they get to high school, and I didn't recruit anyone. They showed up, essentially. They followed me, which is technically not an issue. And so when Fairfax County looked into this, Danny, here's how they can look into it. Fairfax County Public Schools got wind of this before the season, and they basically said, let's do an investigation. Their investigation was done. There was no written report. They didn't give any details. They just said, we did it and everything's fine. But what they found supposedly was, the kids have addresses in the area. What do you want us to do? That's kind of what they came up with.
Yeah, and there are sorts of beats along the way. Again, this is some reporters who, you know, whose stuff I've read on this, trying to get all the details, you know, weren't allowed to listen to some of the hearings, which is utterly bizarre for a high school football eligibility kind of conversation. And there's been a lot of clouding of information, or you know, the flow of information here for something, again, that should be very routine and mundane, has turned anything but.
The gist of this entire story, really, to me, as I continue to read more and more last night, as we've talked about this since yesterday now, is whether or not they're able to prove that something was done incorrectly. Obviously, the Fairfax County Public School System and the superintendent didn't think that they could. The VHSL disagreed. The VHSL looked into this, and on the last day of the season, as Hayfield was getting ready to beat a team 63-0, that basically just kneeled down and took a bunch of delay of game penalties, so that they never gave the ball back so Hayfield couldn't keep scoring more points against them in this lopsided matchup in the same district where the two teams are on different ends of the football and athletic spectrum because of all the recruits that came in that weren't in Hayfield 1 year ago. Basically, they find out they can't play in the playoffs for a two-year suspension based on the VHSL saying FCPS was wrong, that Freedom's program, where this guy came from, they can barely field a team now. You know, they had to forfeit three games because they don't even have enough players anymore, so this wasn't fair to them. And, oh, by the way, all the kids that had to play against them in that district, now that district's kids were at a disadvantage, and so you don't get to participate in the playoffs. Hayfield throws a Hail Mary based on some lawsuits that weren't taken seriously. A judge, on the day the playoffs were supposed to start, rules that they actually can be in the playoffs. So instead of games starting that night at 7 o'clock, at 4 o'clock it comes out that the playoffs aren't starting. This was this past Friday night, a week ago. They're not going to happen. So where you've bought your $4,000 in chicken and pizza at Lake Braddock, or where there's kids warming up on the field for their game 3 hours away, the playoffs are not starting tonight. What is actually happening now, Danny, with Hayfield back in the playoffs and favored by, you know, 47, 57 points in every game they play in, is they play tonight. They're playing in the playoffs this evening. But it was just an amazing set of circumstances where all these teams that were preparing for 2 weeks for teams that they don't play because the seating all changed because Hayfield, after being told they wouldn't be back in the playoffs, this injunction plays out where the judge says, actually, you guys can be in the playoffs. VHSL did something wrong or wasn't correct. So now they're back in the playoffs. And really what's at stake here is a conversation about an open transfer portal in high school football. And if that's what we want to be, because at least what someone on Hayfield's side would say is, you cannot prove that any rule was broken. There is no smoking gun here. FCPS tells you as much. And VHSL and a lot of other people looking at this are going, I don't know if you can prove that a rule was broken or not, but this clearly is against the spirit of all the rules. And it would seem like common sense that something is not right here, that 24 kids who weren't recruited didn't all just show up and live in the same couple of neighborhoods. And so it's basically a, did they technically do anything wrong? Or is this just a moral issue, and what do we want high school football to be? That's where we are.
It's a good summary. It's impossible to capture every nuance of this thing, but there's some really good reporting done here. Now, again, I'm not here to tell you what set of facts are correct, and if you have a different set of facts, God bless you. Reading the stories, though, there's some stuff that at best, I don't know how to describe this better than this, at best seems shady. At best, some practices are head-scratching. At best, some things that went on are, well, wait a minute. I guess technically you may be okay, but why are we doing that, right?
Right. If all your kids have addresses within the area now, and, you know, what am I supposed to do? Do I go to their house every night if I'm FCPS and check? Like, is that something we want anyway? Do we want these kids being harassed and followed? Is that worth it? So it's a sticky, awful situation.
Yeah, so a coach that had taken this, again, this previously moribund school in terms of football, had gotten them to relevancy to win this little district, which, as you said, no disrespect to any of these kids who were working hard and coaches and parents and everybody, but we're just trying to give the objective view here. But this is not a football powerhouse district, okay? This is a group that struggles. You win your district, congratulations, that's probably where it ends for you. You're going to go face, you know, some maulers maybe up the way out in Ashburn, right? Whatever, it just is what it is. So he did what you're supposed to do, this previous coach. 3 years, they've had winning records, win their district, and then get bounced in the playoffs. New principal, new AD come swooping in and say, that's not good enough. Everyone else in the conference is going, we aspire to be like that. They said, no, we're doing something totally different. And now you get this brand new deal here.
So there have been a couple developments, which we want to get into, that have happened since we talked about this yesterday. And they've been covered by Asra Nomani, who writes at the Fairfax Times, and she joins us now. So, Asra, thank you for a few minutes. So I want to start. We just got everyone up to speed in our listening audience of basically what's been going on. And we could dive deeper in with some of your reporting. You're way closer to this than we are. But the big development I want to start with last night was that the superintendent, Michelle Reed, sent out a letter to, I think, everybody. It was an email to all parents of Fairfax County.
Right.
What did that letter say, and where are we now with the playoffs starting tonight and Hayfield playing tonight?
Yeah, so it's been 9 months of a debacle, a local debacle on this issue. And to borrow a sports analogy, Michelle Reed, the superintendent, fumbled. And she's now trying to pick up the ball and, you know, just save face. So last night what she did is she announced that she is going to have a county-wide, a district-wide evaluation of recruitment and eligibility. So she's taking the focus off the controversy at Hayfield and now applying it to every team in every school and every sport. And so it's not, it's as one father put it and one coach, the house is burning down, and instead of like trying to take the fire out, she's just moving on and saying, hey, I'm going to figure out what we're going to do in the future. But meanwhile, you have this debacle just imploding in the county right now.
So could you speak to, I think folks that sort of come by this story and just sort of as tourists or somebody that's just sort of reading a headline, they're trying to frame it basically as, oh, this team got really good and you're mad about it. Well, I would love for you to go into, you've done some amazing reporting on this. Could you go into of the other things before we even talk about a football team being good that just, the way I said to put it, kind of just seems shady. Like where your flags are raised, whether it's the text messages demanding payments, who's got accounting of those monies? Where did they go? What receipts are there? Things like that, that I think are, it's more than just this team got good.
Yeah, this is really such a fundamental story about what is America about also. Because, you know, we love sports in America. I loved athletics as a child. It brought me, as an immigrant, you know, to understand America. It got me to connect with people, raised a son in sport. And America is a place of rule of law. And so this is where sports is also to be defined. And sportsmanship is really not only about ethics and etiquette, but also about rule of law. And so what we have here is a school that you noted under the past coach had successes, Coach Aziz, and all of a sudden a principal shows up and he said, I want to just catapult to the top. I want to be state champions. And what they did to accomplish that was bring in a new coach from across the border in Prince William County and bring with them some, you know, the estimate goes from 20 to 30 players from Freedom High School in Prince William County to private schools. They redistricted some ninth graders that folks don't really talk about. But what is fundamental here is that Virginia High School League has some rules that people are supposed to self-govern around to create fairness in the sport. And it's not to take away a competitiveness, but to make sure that everybody's working with the same rule book. And we all know that folks move around, a few players here and there, maybe, you know, coaches recruit one or two players, but this was at such a mass scale that the alarm bells went off, and that's the chaos that has now ensued in Fairfax County over the last 9 months.
Azra Nomani is with us. The reason, frankly, that we've been talking about it is it feels like a seminal moment in high school sports in this area as to where are we going and what do we want out of high school athletics, essentially. I guess my next question to you would be, for the person who says, because I've asked so many people now that are around high school sports about this, and they would say, well, there's no smoking gun. Like, that FCPS couldn't find it. All the kids had addresses. The paperwork is filled out. There's not much else to do. It's a moral issue. What do you say to that?
Well, it's so interesting because there is this proselytizing rule that is the one that is a funny, funky word to describe recruitment. And what it states is that a student is not supposed to move to a school for the sake of athletics. That's what public school is supposed to be about, communities. And, you know, really a lieutenant general in one of the impacted schools, Fairfax High School, described to me, too, how a lot of the military families, you know, they've been moving their kids around for years, and they're trying to then build them a community in high school. And so what you kind of had happening was, I hate to put this word, it's such a strong word, but sort of like mercenary athletes coming into a high school, replacing the students that had grown up in that community so that they get displaced, they get bullied out of their spots on the team. And it wasn't just about caliber, you know, it was about just basically making everyone feel like they were welcome. And then at the end of it all, you have stacked the deck. Like, that's what is illegal in high school warts in public system. And you know, this is not just an issue for the DMV, too, because what I'm hearing is this is striking a nerve because it's creating that existential question that parents and coaches and communities are having about what is going on with youth sports. You know, that I was a mom. I told you, like, my son was in the sport of fencing, and we went from Salt Lake City to San Diego for national fencing tournaments. And I do look back, and I say, what were we chasing? It's that dangling carrot, you know, of scholarships and prestige and this and that. Remember when we go to kid to karate? You're paying up for every belt that they get. And so it's a multi-million-dollar industry, and we have to have a real deep conversation about what we're doing and what's the sacrifice to then the kids, right? At the end of the day, the innocence of the sport is gone in all of this.
Azra Nomani with us here on Grant and Danny. Done some great reporting on this Hayfield High School story. We have two more for you super quick. I'll go first. Your experience then trying to get information, and some of it is just the behavior is like someone trying to keep a state secret or, you know, invoke the Fifth Amendment, just bizarre things about access that you were, it was restricted to you and others. Could you go into that part of the process, which makes this seem all the more below the level?
This is just unbelievable. So I was a reporter at the Wall Street Journal for 15 years. I covered corporate America, you know, tried to break into corporate secrets. I've covered terrorism. I actually went down to Guantanamo Bay to cover the 9/11 trials. I have had more cloak and dagger on this story than any other story I've had. People are writing to me on Proton Mail. There's a thing in intelligence community called a dead drop where somebody just leaves a manila envelope with secrets at a location. I did that. I picked up a manila envelope with the inside secrets about what had happened in Prince William County at Freedom High School at a park in Fairfax County. People are afraid for their jobs, retaliation for their kids. But the real story to me, like, I've thought about this so hard, and why have I cared also? Like, why am I bothering? Because politics is local, and sports becomes politics in this kind of situation. And that innocence, again, of the youth is evaporated in these tug-of-wars. And what ends up happening is Fairfax County Public Schools is a $3.8 billion company, and they have not been able to adjudicate this in a fair way so that you've got these playoffs of chaos starting tonight. But the end of, you know, the school system Tuesday night, they called the police on us as reporters, and thankfully the Fairfax County Police Department knows that we're allowed to be in public space. I've had some of the parents from Hayfield, you know, try to knock my camera out and intimidate me during public, you know, little moments that they had in front of the courthouse. And what is it that everybody's hiding? I mean, there's a dark secret that's going on in youth sports, and we've seen some of the worst of it when it comes to exploitation of children. And this is in its own form of financial exploitation, using youth bodies for purposes of like self-interest, building businesses, building credentials, building resumes. And what I am so heartened to hear, you guys, that I want everybody to feel good about is I call them guardians of the game. There are whistleblowers, like this mom, Regina Dorsey, whose son was one of the ones bullied at Hayfield High School. She stood up to the new coach and all the shenanigans that was happening. And there are coaches that are standing up with great courage. They could lose their jobs. They're being threatened. And so I hope everybody will support the truth telling in all of this, most of all, because everybody may have a different point of view about, like, how far should we go in sports? But, like, I think we can all be on the side of, let's get to the truth of what happened and how we can fix this.
Azra, thank you for the time. We appreciate it.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you guys so much for bringing me in. I'm so honored.
Azra Nomani, Fairfax Times, has been doing a lot of reporting on this, and frankly, there's just not a lot of it locally. So that has been helpful to people trying to figure out what's going on. By the way, she had the story today that the Hayfield AD, Monty Fritz, has been set now to go on leave. The story just keeps getting crazier. But again, you're going back to the day the playoffs started at 4 p.m., they're back in the playoffs. And one team that's been prepping for a playoff game is now out. Robinson, mm-hmm. and all these other teams that were prepping for teams that they were supposed to play.
Yeah, the four seed had a home game. Now they don't because they're the five seed. You know, the three seed was playing the six seed. Now they're the four seed playing the five seed. All that kind of stuff. Crazy.
Everyone screwed up. Like Fairfax County.
Everybody messed up
the VHSL. Yes. I mean, there's almost no winners in any of this. But we can take a couple of calls on this next at 800-636-1067. I guess the next layer of this is with the playoffs starting tonight, whether or not you think that a team with these allegations should be in the playoffs. But maybe more importantly, what should the other teams do? Where you're going out there to lose by a ton of points, they're coming out of the region. I mean, the question is not whether they're going to win, but by how much. There's been talk that the other teams were just not going to play in the playoffs, where they were just going to essentially say, we don't want to take part in this, let them represent the region. What would you do? And what would you want done if you were a parent at one of those schools? Grant and Danny on the Fan. If you are coming to Grant and Danny, the steakhouse, for the steak you normally get, talking about the Commanders and all things pro sports in D.C., fear not. We're going to throw some steaks on the grill here in just a bit. But we are navigating away for a moment for what we think is a pretty important sports conversation about the prep level and the high school ranks. There is a playoff-bound school that plays tonight. They've got amazing players. I've seen them play two times. They've got a ton of D1 kids that are going to go get scholarships, and some might even play in the league. This head coach at Hayfield, Daryl Overton, who came from Freedom where they'd won back-to-back state titles. They had some of the same issues at Freedom and Prince William, swirling around the program with where the kids are from and whether or not they're in the area and all these things. But 50 players or so have gotten scholarships that he has coached. I mean, he helps develop these kids from when they're very, very young. A lot of these kids, it's the moment he said, I'm moving, I'm going to Hayfield, their parents were instructed by the kids, I need to be with Dio. He's going to make me the best player, the best man. I'm following him. And so they up and moved to Hayfield. Whether or not they all did is kind of the question that led to the allegations, that led to the investigations. And here we are. And after, you know, a year where they outscored opponents 560 to 13, then all of a sudden now, at the end of the year, it's determined they can't play in the playoffs. The day of the playoffs, they're back in the playoffs, and everyone else is screwed one way or the other because either they're preparing for a game with concession stand food they just bought that they can't use, or because they're playing a different team than they were supposed to, or because they're outright dropped from the playoffs altogether because Hayfield's back as the one seed. And the playoffs start tonight, Danny, and it's just, I mean, you could make a movie about this. I mean, it really is unbelievable, and it's happening in our backyard.
And it's unfair to pretty much everybody, right? There are no winners in this thing, and I don't want to editorialize too much about it, but I will say that governing bodies failed here on both counts. Even the Virginia High School League that issued the suspension, which I happen to technically agree with, but it's all too late. Like, this needs to be done before. You know what I mean? Like, you can't go through a season and then say, just kidding, whoops, there at the very end, and that has ripple effects, the unintended consequences. You pretty much have to say, you know what, this one slipped by us, we're going to tighten the screws for next time. So this starts. The school system itself, it totally failed here on transparency, or whether they conducted a thorough investigation or not, I have no idea. The results of that, principals, administrators, everybody involved up and down, there are no winners here. And it's so in that way, that's why I'm so fascinated and focused on it.
I got a text from someone during our last interview just a few minutes ago who was making the kind of pro-Hayfield case again where they said, look, I know this guy. He's a great person. He takes good care of these kids. They're going to get scholarships. And, you know, that whole idea of he's a winner, he's winning football. You know, other schools are upset because they're not winning. And what I realize is really there's just two sides of it, and a lot of it just comes down to what your philosophy and paradigm is on what high school sports are supposed to be, right? The person texting me that and saying that believes that high school ball shouldn't be that different from college ball, where the transfer portal and the open season opportunity for kids to go be their best version of themselves as football players is what it should be about athletically. And to that I would say, you can do that at a private school. They do that at private schools in this area. You're allowed to recruit. You're allowed to big juggernauts. He could build in this area if he wanted to, an IMG Academy. But at a public school in a weak football conference is kind of a strange place to do it, and that's why there were so many people that were so bothered by it.
Yeah, quick, and my quick response would be, I'm again, alleged whatever I have to say, but there are some that would allege a made-up position at the school for this coach, for the quote-unquote team mom, for others involved here that, you know, enriching themselves. Money's changing hands via Cash App. That's not where money for a school program goes, right? What accounting has been done? All the parents were told you need to give a couple hundred bucks here, a couple hundred bucks there. Well, that seems like small potatoes. You do that.
So the
Cash App,
I will say this just because I asked the coach about this. The Cash App thing should not happen, and I'm sure they had to make changes there because that's not allowed. That's really, really bad. But it's not abnormal, as you'd imagine. You played sports to ask kids for money for he wanted like
of course.
To have polo Listen. Shirts on game day and team meals. Give us a couple hundred bucks.
The travel club that my kid does, it happens all the time. Hey, there are travel fees. Here's what this is for. One off asks. Right. If somebody just texted me and said, we need $200 for a T-shirt and meals, I've got some questions about that. You know what I mean? What account's that going in? Who's paying for that? This way, what happens is the poor team manager for our team has to pay the damn thing up front and then is hounding people for 3 months. Please give me the $124.79 for the Hunt Valley Classic tournament that we're doing this coming weekend. That's not what this is. This is, if you'd like to be included, $200 for a T-shirt and some meals. Very nebulous. Just no accounting done, no oversight, etc. So my response is, everybody wants to focus on that high-end part where they're beating people. And God bless you if that butters your biscuit. My response is, again, this is what's alleged, there's a bunch of shady stuff that's got nothing to do with that. That to me is where I kind of go, it ain't just the thing that you're saying it is. It ain't just they're really good and he's a good football coach. There's something, he's made himself a nice little fiefdom here, where if you want in, he's the Pied Piper, he's got the disciples, he's got everybody who wants to be a part of it because the results speak for themselves at the back end. And there are plenty of coaches that have done that, right? Where you put a winning program together. Now you bet your ass that summer camp's the important one to get to if you eventually want to play for him to get that scholarship, right? So he's made this self-sustaining thing. He's found a land of opportunity. He came to Northern Virginia, one of the richest places in the world. He left Prince William where he was. It's more of a gold mine, more vein to tap up here. I understand it, but you can't just tell me it's as simple as, he wins, get over it. If you don't like it, win yourself. Wrong, wrong. Shady, shady, shady. At best, it's shady. At best.
Well, I mean, and it's high school football. It's not college.
Right.
Right? Which is now the pros, and it's certainly not the pros. But that's your issue. My issue is, I think, said well by this school board member who sent out a letter last night to everybody who said he's appalled by the situation. He went on to say, though, as children were taught the words of sports writer Grantland Rice, it's not about winning or losing. It's how you play the game. We've completely lost sight of this in Fairfax County. And I'm not suggesting, again, that no one should be trying to win state titles. No one should be trying to get to D1.
Of course, we're trying to teach kids to compete. Yeah, of course.
But what lesson is being learned here when I'm being sent out for slaughter against the team that's bussing in 24 new outstanding players, you know, in a district where I'm trying to score a touchdown for the third time this season.
Yeah, when you take delay of games for two quarters rather than let them run up the score even more, who's being served? Who's improved, right? If this is a district where this is done for everybody, more okay. This is a not that great football conference where you're beating people by 70 points. Who is that helping?
Let's go to JaVale, who's in Culpepper, I think on line six. What's up, JaVale? How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good, buddy.
Going well, man.
Good. Good. My situation with this is this has been going on long before this year in the state of Virginia. I believe this is an issue now just simply because it's Fairfax County. And your last guest that you had said it. The million-dollar industry of athletics or the school system in Fairfax County, and I believe that's all it is, because this county knew what this man did previously in Prince William. They knew before the season started, okay? And VHSL allows you. Another thing that she said was the ninth graders in the state of Virginia, you are allowed to go to any school that you choose in the county that you live in, as long as your parents are able to provide you transportation.
Not in Fairfax.
To and from school.
That is not. That's in Loudoun County. That's true. That's not true in Fairfax.
Well, the VHSL is also, you can go to any school in the entire state before your freshman year, as long as that school accepts you.
I appreciate the call. I will clarify this, but I've asked that direct question to people and been told in Fairfax that's not how it works. In Loudoun County, before ninth grade, you can choose to say go to Stonebridge if you want to go there. You can't change year by year if you can provide transportation and they have an opening in their school. But in Fairfax, it is based on where you live very specifically.
It's more densely populated. There's a million reasons for that.
There are magnet programs where you could say, I got to go to that school because I need to be in this ROTC program. There are workarounds that are used sometimes for athletes, for sure. But in Fairfax County, which is where this is, and this is the primary county in the state, obviously, in this area, the rule is that you're not allowed to choose where you go, or else I don't think this would be as big a story. And the one other thing I would say, and it's a great call by JaVale, and I appreciate you making it, buddy, this is the main argument. This has been happening forever. I remember this school had this player, and Eddie Royal ended up at Westfield, and whatever else. Find me one time where 20-plus players in the same offseason went to the same school. This is not, you know, a bunch of people going to join the state championship program legendary coach. It might be in the future. This is a first-year program that's never won a state title, that has not won a playoff game in the previous years, and 24-plus players are going there. There's no precedent for that. That's not a my kid moved from California because you guys win state titles and get guys to D1. I mean, again, if there's another example like this in this area at any point in history, I haven't found it. But maybe there is, and you could tell me about it. Let's go to Brendan in Fredericksburg. What's up, Brendan? How are you?
Hey, so a long time ago, I was trapped at a high school, and luckily I found a loophole. My mom did, because she was a teacher, and she knew all the loopholes, so she found a loophole. And like 5 years later, after three or four guys, some guys had to move into new houses to get away from this abusive coach. Like 5 years later, the guy was sued, fired, found guilty of being abusive. Why should kids be trapped in a school? And your other points about being fair and not being fair, I have a 23-year-old. He graduated from Virginia Tech. In high school, he went to a different school that had an engineering specialty center, that had engineering college professors. If you were a kid at that school and your grades were, I don't know, a 3.0, guess what? You couldn't get in. Was it fair? Was it not fair? This is America. My son had a 4.3, so he was able to go to that specialty center for engineering. People are crying because it's sports. I get it. But it's America.
It sure is. Did your son, I appreciate the call, man. Did your son, I wonder, have an engineering competition where he lost 70-0? Was he getting tackled during that engineering position by a guy that's going to Clemson when he was, you know, barely able to get the pads on? That's the point of this to me, more so than anything else. I understand.
Your point yesterday on why athletic, because I brought up the point that he just did, which is I've always found it weird that if I want to go to a theater school, I can transfer to do that, but I'm not allowed to do that based on the rules for athletics. But you had a great answer to that I've never thought of.
Yeah, there's no competition in theater programs. There's no, if I want to study Korean at my local high school and it's not offered, sure, I need to go be able to do that somewhere else. A point of study that isn't necessarily emphasized. That's reasonable. If you want a better theater program, a magnet school, an engineering school like Thomas Jefferson or otherwise, that's better than what you're offering, totally, totally fine. Direct competition, physical competition, injuring people, mauling people, getting in, controlled chaos and car wrecks. Because of that competition factor, you're not supposed to do this. That's the nature of a conference. A conference is like-minded schools with similar philosophies and ways they're going about things, trying to compete on as level playing field as possible. In given years, one team might be better or worse. That's normal. That happens. This tilts the playing field so mightily that everybody fell off. It's wrong. It's not crying about anything. They're going to go play these games, and I wouldn't if I was them, by the way.
Let's
I would tell this
next,
group to pound
the
sand.
The playoffs start today. The teams in their district or region playoffs, I guess, in the 1-8 seeds, whatever it is, that starts tonight. At one point, we're reportedly considering not playing. I think all of them came forward to write a letter asking not to put Hayfield back in it. And now Hayfield's playing one of those teams, Edison, tonight, with one of those coaches who said they shouldn't be in it. Dave McKenna wrote a piece in the Defector where he said, take the over. I mean, you don't think that might come up in the pregame speech? Grant and Danny on the Fan. Grant and Danny on the Fan discussing high school sports and the future of ball at that level. Do we want an open transfer portal at its core is really my question. Because every time you start to debate with anyone on this issue, there's the idea of, well, the kids are going to get scholarships and the team's really good and people are just upset. And it doesn't get to the core of, like, the right versus the wrong here, if you believe that. And I think the reason is people have different opinions on what's right and wrong. If you think winning a state championship and, you know, getting as many players as possible into Division One, which is a goal everywhere, I would say, and doing it in a way where, like they've done at Hayfield this year, kids are coming in from wherever they need to play as part of the program, then you probably don't have much of an issue with this. But do you want the open portal in high school football? One of the parents was, I watched a YouTube clip that's now no longer online a couple of nights ago when I was kind of researching all this, and one of the parents of one of the players said, you know, look at college. There's a portal. You can go wherever you want. It's the same. Well, it's actually not the same by way of the rules, and a lot of people don't want it that way, but some do. Let's go to Jason in Chantilly on Grant and Danny. What's up, Jason? How are you?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, buddy.
Hey, yeah, so my only comment really is, like, we're not really looking at the rules here. I think there's misconception about what the rules are. I mean, one of the statements that's been made is that the VHSL approved these players, certified that these players were eligible at the beginning of the year. That's just simply not the way it works in Virginia. Your local athletic director and principal technically certifies that the players are eligible, and then it is sent to the Virginia High School League. So they're acting as members of the Virginia High School League.
Oh, okay. So let me ask you this follow-up. Stay with me here. So have you coached or are you on the athletic side of anything before?
Yeah, I've coached in Fairfax County for 28 years.
Okay, cool. Okay, so it is my understanding, and I guess it makes sense that you wouldn't be able to verify everybody. So basically the principal, who in this case is in his first year at the school, hired the new head coach, came from a Richmond area where there's a Marshall High School program doing the same thing essentially in Richmond, and the AD, who I think is reportedly going to take a leave of absence, but came from a more of like a private situation where they recruit in D.C. So those guys, if they're like-minded that they want to do this, there was a report that they told the parents, we're going to be on ESPN, whatever. You're saying they're the only two people really that have to confirm the paperwork, not Fairfax?
Yeah, essentially, that's the way it works. I mean, you have a registrar within the school system that actually approves that as well, and you have to prove that you have a bona fide address, that they're a bona fide student. But that's the way it works within the school system. And then the VHSL is just the governing body.
Okay, so when they said, we looked into it, it's fine. Now, there was no written paperwork or report. But when they said, nothing to see here, move along, what did that entail?
I can't speak to that. I have no idea. I mean, it does seem odd. I agree with Danny, like 24 students, and I heard B. Mitch say it earlier today, 24 students transferring in. I mean, that is extraordinarily unusual at the high school level.
Well, I would
appreciate
say it's
you.
Unprecedented.
Yeah. I mean, even in a private school that's what they major in, that would be unusual. It goes beyond unusual is the point here. I mean, and the downstream stories of it, you're just mad because he wins. Every kid that was on that team previously that was doing the right thing gets hazed or is almost ultimately forced to quit. The kids from the other good teams, the once in a generation, right? You work your way up. You do everything you're supposed to do. The 11-0 James Madison Warhawks, the 9-2 Westfield, whatever their name is, you probably know better than I do. The other
Bulldogs.
Yeah, thank you, the Bulldogs. Other teams that have a legitimate shot at this thing, normally, that's taken away from them. And I guess that's fine with everybody because I'm jealous or crying or whatever. But it's just, if you're able to do that, In the regular, genuine way that they did on the same playing field, that's impressive. This way, you know, I hope you feel good about it.
Let's go to John in Herndon on Grant and Danny. Hello, John.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up, buddy?
I actually went to the hearing last Friday. I have two boys that play football at Herndon, and I was fascinated by it. And there really hasn't been any reporting in terms of why the judge did what he did. And if you guys want to hear it, I can tell you what happened.
Yeah, go shoot.
So, went to the hearing. I think there was one other person there that was kind of neutral, about 60 folks from Hayfield. Lawyers come in. The VHSL lawyer was not local, and frankly, he wasn't that prepared. The lawyer for the players, a very well-known lawyer in the area, wasn't that well prepared either, better prepared than the VHSL lawyer, but to his defense, he just got retained 2 days prior and was able to get the judge to grant this emergency hearing the day before, which is kind of extraordinary. The judge was the most prepared judge I've ever seen in my life. I cannot even fathom it, okay? He starts the hearing, and before he lets either party say anything, he starts asking detailed questions about who at VHSL or what at VHSL made this decision. Neither attorney could really answer the question. Ultimately, it came out that there was an October 30th letter or something like that in which the penalties were set forth by the executive director, Billy Zane. I think that was his name, Billy Hahn.
Billy Hahn.
Then the lawyer, the judge, started asking questions to the VHSL lawyer, and eventually the VHSL lawyer admitted that Billy Hahn did not have the ability to do that. He had the ability to do certain penalties, but if the penalty involved, I think, probation or suspension, it had to be done by a committee. So he goes to the VHSL lawyer. Did a committee do this? And the VHSL lawyer eventually says no. So 5 minutes in, I texted a buddy, this is going incredibly well for Hayfield.
Yeah, you're right? They're cooked. And we appreciate the call.
Thank you, buddy.
It's a technicality, essentially, at that point. I just don't get why VHSL waited so long to get involved, how they thought releasing what they did the day of the playoffs starting, or I should say the day of the final day of the regular season rather than earlier in the year was okay. And then Fairfax County and their superintendent seems to have botched this every single which way from the beginning.
Yeah, I've heard from a few interested parties who either have kids playing or nephews and nieces, not nieces, but you know what I mean, like people that are involved. Everyone knew going back to the summertime.
Well-kept secret.
When these new students start enrolling in the spring and go, well, this is odd, even before, you know, the school year kind of changed, like everything about it, basically everybody around has known for a while, and it's not to the 11th hour that the governing bodies get involved or don't, as the case is.
Let's go to Dan, who's in Fairfax on G&D. What's up, Dan?
Hey, how are you? To piggyback off what the other guy said, that the VHSL went with what Fairfax County said and everything said. The crazy thing is, the lady who is in charge of the administrating these new kids said something to the principal and the AD, and guess what? She mysteriously got transferred to another school. The one who checks those things got transferred to another school.
I've not seen that anywhere. Where have you seen that?
Oh my gosh. It's in the article that she asked questions from Fairfax Times or something. She asked questions about these new students, and then suddenly she was mysteriously transferred to another school. The lady who checks that job, just like he said, VHS goes by what the principal and what the AD says. And as for the smoking gun, there was a smoking gun. Nine kids the day before the season started were told they were not allowed to play because
their
transfers
weren't
right. Appreciate the phone call, my friend. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there. Just want to make sure I got this in. It jogged my memory because there's so many details to this thing that are crazy.
I went to their first game against West Springfield, and I was there. And the reason I went was because I'd been hearing all of this stuff for weeks just to see how good these kids were and what the deal was. And they were up by 35 at the end of the first quarter.
And here is from the article from Osmond Romano.
But I was told, several of them were ineligible.
As previously reported, Fairfax County Public Schools Assistant Superintendent Michelle Boyd and Hayfield's Principal Darren Thompson involuntarily transferred Aaron Crowley, the school's popular director of student services, after she raised questions this past spring about the paperwork on the transfers of the estimated 30-plus football players who followed Overton to Hayfield.
I had not heard that.
I'd forgotten I read that because there's so much to it that I've read that's crazy.
Again, make the movie. I want to do a documentary. John in Falls Church, what's up? John, you there?
Hi, I just want to say, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hello? Yeah. Hi. I don't want to say my real name or where I'm working at now just because of everything that's going on, but I was part of the last regime at Hayfield with the Z's, and I worked at the school as well. Basically, coaches get let go and hired all the time. It is what it is. That's part of life. The biggest thing that people keep forgetting, like the victim is the kids here. There are multiple kids that were all region caliber kids the last year at Hayfield that are now relegated to JV. Or they're unable to play because there's six guys in their spot.
And what about those kids? Why is that fair to those kids?
I'm sorry, huh?
What about those kids? Why is that fair to them?
That's the biggest thing. Yeah, like that's not fair to those that starters as sophomores have to play JV now, but they were all region caliber kids.
Can I ask you, and then can I ask you, were you on the staff as recently as last season or no?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, I was.
how did, like, we're out of time and we only have about 30 seconds or a minute left, but, like, what do you think happened? Like, why do you think they did this?
I think because the principal and Overton know each other from going back when Overton was coaching at Woodbridge. They're familiar with each other there. Everyone's saying that the coach is from Richmond. He's really from up here. He knows Overton from up here. The athletic director was actually the head coach at Mount Vernon High School last year, who plays Hayfield. He was at Friendship Collegiate before that, but that was years ago. He was at Mount Vernon for the last, I want to say, 7 years almost. You know, this is a lot more local than everyone's kind of making it out to be. And then the principal is using fear tactics against staff and saying he told the staff in a full teacher staff meeting one day that if anyone's talking about these rumors, there will be consequences, you know, stuff like that. Kids not being able to, it's just all that kind of stuff. I think people are kind of glassing over and not realizing, like, the kids are the victim, the principal and the coach are the ones who are at fault here. And then I can confirm the thing about the director of student services that she was transferred to. I believe it was Annandale, I believe it was. They switched
Home
those two positions. And
appreciate the call. It's good information. It is. And again, we're too late, and we could do this for a lot more time, but it just seems like something important at, you know, a level that we normally don't talk about, but that everyone has an opinion on, because either played high school sports, you got a kid who will or does, or it just feels like one of those kind of cultural, moral discussions around the water cooler that everyone's going to have. So as there are more developments, perhaps we will discuss it on the show. Grant and Danny on the Fan, our Beltway Blitz is next. We're giving away Caps tickets as soon as we return.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.